All right, let's take our chorus books this morning. Let's turn to number 12.
Yeah. Thank you.
Whisper of Prayer. Verse 3 next week. 2 Samuel 23. verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. So we'll move on to verse 3 next week, but today we'll just focus on verse 2. Let's say it together. 2 Samuel 23, 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. All right. All right, good to go.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've been here. The toll went up. I handed him $6 and he's like, where's the 10 cents? And I think last time I was here, it was 5:30 maybe. I mean, it hiked up pretty high. But anyway, I'm not complaining about that. I mean, what's 10 cents, right? But anyway, well, it's good to be here. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody. How's everything going with reference to the search? Is there anybody? Any?
It's a few irons in the fire.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm praying for this church. Believe me, I can imagine just after a while it starts to get old, you know, and you get weary and everything else. And I'm getting weary for you. You know what I mean? But the Lord knows, you know, the Lord knows what you need, who you need. And as we sing up here, I mean, I can still hear Dad's voice when we're singing. I can hear that. And this morning, as we sing that song, and, you know, the Lord took Pop home, you know. And obviously, he don't want to leave the church without. And so we got to pray and just keep on praying. As our brother said this morning, keep praying, keep praying, keep seeking the Lord in his face for his will. Amen. I think this morning in the morning service, I'm going to preach on prayer a little bit as by way of encouragement to keep on praying. You know, it's easy to say keep on praying when you don't feel, you know, discouraged. You know what I mean? For somebody to get up who is not in your situation, keep on praying, brother, keep on praying. It's one thing, but when you're in the situation, when you're in the hospital, when they say keep on praying, you know what I mean? And you're in that situation, you know, it just gets, you know, but really, what else are we going to do? What else are we going to do? You know, where can we go? But to the Lord, you know. But anyway, this morning in Sunday school, would you turn to the book of Philippians chapter number 3, please? It's good to see you, my brother. It's good to see you. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3 this morning. I want to just talk to you a little bit. Once we look at the text, I'll kind of explain what I'm going to talk about a little bit this morning. But I'm still hovering around 200. You know, I hover, I fluctuate. Amen. More on the 200, you know what I mean? There was a couple times I actually got down to 195. And then I didn't see that for a little while yet. Amen. But well, praise the Lord for that, right? Philippians chapter number 3. Won't you look with me for a moment, verse number 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. We'll just read just a few verses here. Paul, as you well know, wrote the book of Philippians, and he says in verse number 13, brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. If I could put it in the simplest terms, he basically said, I'm not there yet. I've not arrived. You've heard that term before. I've not arrived. So Paul said, I've not yet apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do. Now, I like this thought. He says, one thing I do, and he lists three different things. I think it is, right? I forget those things which are behind, and then I reach forth unto those things which are before, and then I press toward the... See that? He said, I do one thing, but yet he broke down to one thing into three. That's okay, because we believe in one God in three persons, right? But nonetheless, he says, listen, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not there yet. And might I say this? I can boldly say this. Neither are you. Neither am I. By the way, Pop's there. Those of our loved ones who have gone on, they're there. They can say, I'm here. I'm not there yet. You see, until I get there, when we were singing, everything's all right in my Father's house, we're not talking about the church. The church is the house of God on earth, but there can be no sin in my Father. We're not talking about the church. You know? The part of heaven that's the part of our family that's all right now are the ones that are with the Lord. Somebody said if you could reach them and say, come on back, they'd say, what, are you crazy? Are you crazy? I already fought life's final battle, death. I've already crossed. I'm on the other side. Ain't no coming back. Don't want to come back. In fact, I'm sure they sympathize for us. Still here. Amen. Paul said, look, I'm not apprehended. I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not there yet. I've not arrived. And by the way, neither have we. But he said, listen, while I'm here, because I'm not what I ought to be and where I ought to be doesn't mean I'm not striving still to become more what I ought to be. Amen? Striving, by the way, I think that's the operative word, because trying to be what God wants you to be is not easy. Can I get a witness on that one? It's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven. Many are the thorns on the way. Amen? It's not an easy road. Striving is the key. I mean, and that takes work and effort and everything else. Amen? He goes on to say, I forget those things which are behind, even good and bad. He said, I reach forth. I press toward the mark. It's amazing because the only thing that you can use to reference to the past is your mind. Your hands can't go backwards. Your feet can't go backwards. When he says, I reach forth and I press toward, he's talking about his hands and his feet. As a racer, you, by the way, when it talks about when it's going forward, you got to put your hands and your feet. It takes effort to become more what God wants you to be. But you can't go back and do nothing with the past. You cannot take your feet and your hands back there no more. With your mind, you can forget it. Amen. He said, I forget those things. I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, verse number 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. And the word perfect is mature. If you have the same understanding, he said, if you're mature, have the same mind, have the same mindset. Now, if you would turn to Romans chapter number 12, I want to talk to you a little bit about this fact. Listen, we all need to change for the better. Amen. The Lord never has to change for the better because he's perfect. Amen. He doesn't have to change for the better. Amen. You and I need to constantly mature, constantly develop, constantly grow. Amen. And so change is something that we need to daily work for, if you will. I saw a handbag some lady had and it said change is worth fighting for. Amen. And so you and I need to fight to become more what God wants us to become. Amen. You see, it's when we blow it that we get frustrated with ourselves. We get discouraged with ourselves. And by the way, anybody blow it? Amen. Amen. We all blow it. We all lose it. We all, because we're sinful beings and so on. But we need to grow. We need to grow. And we need to become more and more what he wants us to be. I want to talk to you about being changed more and more. I thank God. Listen, I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. Now, in my case, you know, I was an alcoholic. I smoked marijuana. I was a thief. I stole cars. I stole a motorcycle. I mean, I just done a lot of bad things when I was a kid. But thank God I got saved. I got forgiven. And God changed my life. I am totally not what I used to be. I promise you. In fact, people that know what I was and see what I am, they know that I'm not what I used to be. But listen, they don't know this. I'm not what I ought to be in reference to what God knows. You may be something in reference to what others see, but what God sees of you and me on the inside, thoroughly through and through, before God, we need more and more change. Amen. I'm not content. And by the way, we ought never be content with our Christianity where we are. Amen. We ought to have a holy discontentment, if you will, about trying to become more and more what God wants us to be. And not only in reference to our sinfulness, but maybe even in reference to our reactions and responses, our lack of faith. Yeah. right? There are times that I look at myself and I say, I wish I had more faith. I wish I could believe more. I wish I did believe more. I wish I trusted more. Amen. By the way, to me, that's an improvement I need, right? It's not that I just want to stop these types of sins. I want to stop these types over here. Maybe stop complaining. Maybe stop griping and groaning. Can I get a witness on that, or is it just me? It's like when we first get saved or we first get right with the Lord, He deals with a lot of the evident sinful fruit of our trees. You know, all the things that people say is, oh man, that guy and the cursing and all that. And when you first get saved, God just starts to work with you. And those are usually the things that go all first. But then there's the fruit that's hidden fruit. It's what you and I are on the inside. Prideful. Can I get a witness or... That's one of the things, by the way, that God hates. I'm going to have to say this. I sent a text to Brother Jason yesterday. I said, Brother Jason, could you sing the song, Thanks to Calvary? And I said, because in that it says, I'm not the dad I used to be. I sent you that text, and he sent back, sure, brother, no problem. Now, here's the thing. I was preparing for a Father's Day message for today. Go ahead and laugh at me. Go ahead, hurt my pride. No, I'm teasing. I was. I knew it was Mother's Day. Everything. Some preacher was talking to me about coming and preaching Father's Day for him. So this was on my mind. Now, be honest with you, brother. I didn't want to text you back. You know what I'm saying? You know, how do I do this? Brother, I'm preparing for a Father's Day message and tomorrow's Mother's Day. You know what the temptation was? I know it's minor, it's not major, but the temptation was pride. You understand what I'm saying here? It's insidious. It's insidious. See, some of us get this ugly pride thing, but there's that not-so-ugly pride thing. The insidious thing where I want somebody to think more than I am. I don't want somebody to know I'm as human as they are. God forbid they might be encouraged. Can I get a witness, brother? How many preachers get up and they make it like they got it all together and you almost walk away thinking, my goodness, I'll never have it together. I'll tell you what it is. A lot of people ain't just honest. Now, listen, you don't have to be totally honest about every little detail of you. Please don't. Can I get a witness? And you don't need me to be neither. But what I'm saying to you, brother, is there are some people that believe that they need to put themselves out there like they're so far above and beyond that, you know what I mean, that they're out of reach. If they're out of reach, I get discouraged. It's a good thing, like Paul the Apostle, when he could say, look, I'm not there. And when he can say about Peter, by the way, in the book of Galatians, look, Peter even had his issues. We didn't need to know that, but we could read and study all that, right? But I mean, I'm just saying to you is that you and I got to be careful of our pride. Amen. And so anyway, I did text him back. I said, brother, forget about that song. Pray whatever, sing whatever the Lord lays on your heart. I'll tell you tomorrow. You'll get a crack out of it. And I told him this morning, I said, yeah, I'm preparing for, could you imagine if I'd have showed up if you know, and I would have just started preaching on, you know, how to be a better dad on Mother's Day. Can I tell you the illustration I got from this? I was as confused yesterday as the world is every day. When it comes to mommies and daddies nowadays. I got two mommies, they say. I got two daddies, they say. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I would have just confused it all. That's basically what the world's all about anyway. We all need to be changed more and more. Amen. Because we all need to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 12. Won't you look with me, please, in verse number 1 and 2. And I got to keep in mind, your service starts at 1:45. Okay, I don't go to 1:45. I go to 45 minutes up. No, geez, 46 minutes up. Anyway, verse number 1, I beseech you, Paul said in Romans 12, verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, therefore, brethren. And by the way, he's speaking to saved people. I want you to understand this message here is primarily for saved people, It is for saved people. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of God's mercies, that you present or give or yield your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what Paul, the Spirit of God through Paul, was telling the Roman believers and you and I today, that we need to give our lives as living sacrifices. I think sometimes it might be easier to give ourselves to a dead sacrifice, to be a dead sacrifice. Sometimes it might be easier to give our life totally than to give our life living for the Lord. I think Peter found that out, by the way. Peter said, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison for you. And I think he was. But his problem was he wasn't ready to live for the Lord at that time. Because they said, hey, weren't you with him? He said, no, don't know him. Weren't you with him? No, I don't know him. Yeah. Willing to die, willing to go to prison, willing to do the hard thing. But to identify with him here on earth, you know, that was hard for him. He goes on to say that you might be a living sacrifice, your body's a living sacrifice, holy, set apart for God, if you will, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse number 2, he really embellishes upon how to be that holy, acceptable sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world. And by the way, the temptation is to be conformed to this world. We're ever being pressured into molding, into being molded like the world. Even in our own thoughts, we got to be very, very careful. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We all got to be careful what we pick up from this world. We're picking up stuff, believe it or not. Consciously, subconsciously. He goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And the word transformed means metamorphosis, means to be changed. Amen. Paul the apostle's telling the brethren, telling the saved people, don't be like the world. Be transformed. Be totally different. Be changed, if you will. And then he tells them how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation, being changed, becoming more and more what God wants us to be. Listen, it all begins with, number one, a power. You see, if you notice, he said in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You see, Paul's not saying to the world, you need to change. You need to change. Because, see, the world, the unsaved, cannot be what God wants them to be until you first get saved. You see, salvation is the key to the power to being what God wants us to be. There is no transformation. Can I tell you what the world can do? Reformation. The world can reform. The world can change outward things. Amen? The world can make themselves look outwardly acceptable, if you will. But inwardly, like Jesus said, even of the religious group of his day, outwardly you look beautiful, but inwardly you're full of deadliness and corruption and so on. Amen? If you and I are going to be changed into his image, if we're going to become more and more like Jesus Christ, then we need to be saved, first of all, because we need to have him in us. Amen? In fact, the scriptures speak of that. John 1, 11 and 12, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You got to be a believer to be saved. Amen. And when you're saved is when you become a child of God. When you become a child of God, then you can be like your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. You can't be like the Father until you're born of the Father, amen? Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, amen? And so you and I cannot be, we can't look like the Father, we can't act like the Father until we're born of the Father, if you will. There's a verse in, I think it's Matthew 5, be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that doesn't mean sinless perfection because there's nobody can be in this life, amen? But we can be like our Father. And in the very context of Matthew chapter 5, what is the context? He allows his Son to shine on everybody, the good and the bad. He allows the rain to come down to feed the good and the bad. His love is shed abroad to everybody. You and I, he said, ought to be like him, and we ought to love everybody like he loves everybody. Amen? By the way, you and I can't love everybody, especially we can't love the unsaved and we can't love our enemies the way that we ought to until we're truly saved. Amen? Because it's when being saved that we have the opportunity to have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the results of the Spirit of God working in the believer in love is that key. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by His what? Spirit. Amen? You see, you and I don't get the power to be like we ought to be and be what we ought to be until we get saved. Because when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I know the context is that you might be witnesses. But that's not only with your lips, that's with your life. Let your light or life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen? You see, when we get saved, we get the Spirit of God. And when we get the Spirit of God, we get a regeneration, a regening. That's where we get changed. Amen? Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God does a work in the heart of those that get saved, and He begins to change us, by the way, and I put it this way, from the inside out. Religion works from the outside only. Look this way, walk this way, kneel this way, stand this way, say these words. You religiously go through a reformation, and it's all outward. Nothing's going on in the inside. But when you get truly born again and truly saved, the Spirit of God comes in and He begins to work from the inside of your heart. Amen? He deals with your heart about the things that need to be dealt with. Amen? He convicts us of these things that don't glorify Him in our lives, especially in the presence of others. And then He deals with our hearts even when people don't see and know what's going on inside. By the way, that's true religion. Amen? Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Be a Christian, not a believer. I believe there are believers that are not Christians. See, we use these words too loosely. Hey, are you a Christian? What we're implying is, are you a believer? Technically, we say, are you a believer? Because there are many believers you can't tell to believers because they're not Christians. What does Christian mean? It means Christ-like. I know believers that are not Christ-like. Amen? And so I don't want to just be a believer. I want to be Christ-like. And that's the work that God does in the heart. Christ-likeness is primarily what comes from our heart and our mind and our life. Amen? His working. Until a person becomes saved, they don't have what it takes. When we do get saved, when we do get born again, according to 2 Peter 1:3-7, we are partakers of the divine nature. Amen? When we partake of the divine nature, oh, now we have the power to be what God wants us to be. Listen, until we get saved, we're really under the influence or the power, even of the devil. Paul told it's mentioned of Paul in Acts 26:17-18, that God called him to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from the power of darkness or from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Amen? You and I, according to Colossians 1:12-14, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. You see, in salvation, we got taken from the wrong and put into the right, taken out of that sphere of influence and put under the right one. Amen? See, until we get saved, we're influenced and dominated by the influence of the devil. We're influenced and dominated by the influence of our own flesh. Amen? And this happened before we get saved. In fact, in the scriptures, Romans chapter 6 is a great chapter that deals with this. He tells these new believers, hey, listen, now that you're saved by the grace of God, you don't have to continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid that thought. Hey, you're no longer bound and stuck to live in sin. Now, he did not say that you'll never sin, you'll never fall, you'll never falter. He says, look, now that you're saved, you don't have to live in that domination no more. It's one thing to slip into mud. It's another thing to wallow in it. See, pigs wallow in it. They enjoy it. Sheep may fall into it, but they don't enjoy it. Can I get a witness on that one? I know I'm one of his sheep. I know I'm saved. And there are times I slip in a pit and I know it and I feel it, the dirtiness and everything else, but I just don't get enjoy wallowing in no more. See, when you're saved and you have an understanding, you can no longer enjoy wrong. There are times, sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'll speak to you in truth as a human being, I wish I didn't know certain things. I wish I didn't know that was wrong. Can I get a witness? You see oblivious Christians just doing things and I wish I didn't know some things. Amen. Why? Because what you know, if the truth of the Word of God gets lodged in your soul, although in the flesh you'd wish you never knew that and understood that, you got to thank God, because it is helping to hold you back from something, because when you know something wrong, you have a hard time doing it, especially feeling good about doing it. Amen. You might do it, but man, you know you regret it. Amen. I'm saying to you, before we get saved, before we get the power of the Spirit of God, we're dominated by another influence, the influence of the devil, the influence of the flesh, and the influence of the world. In fact, I won't turn there for the sake of time, but Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. It says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive." You see, we were dead. Unsaved people are dead. Talk about zombies. The living dead. They're walking. Amen? Dead to God. Dead to the things of God. But when a person gets saved, they get quickened, they get woken up, they get made alive. Amen? They're now alive to God. And now that we're alive to God, Romans 6 says, we need to be dead to sin. Amen? And I'm saying to you, in Ephesians 2, 1, he says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He said you were once, if you will, dominated by the old nature and by the flesh and by the devil, the prince of the power of the air. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen? And you read the rest of Ephesians 2, it talks about how that where we was and stuck is one thing, but the grace of God, the saving grace of God, lifted us up out of there, amen? And now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the way, some people say, are you going to heaven? Well, be honest with you, biblically speaking, I'm already there. See, I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places right now. See, how am I there? I'm represented. I'm in Christ. Amen? So yeah, I'm going to catch up with where I really am. Amen? You and I, when we get saved, we get the power of the Spirit of God. And it's only by the power of God's Spirit that we could ever be what He wants us to be. I don't believe that God is a frustrator of people. Isn't it frustrating to think you have to do something you can't do? Can I get a witness? I don't doubt that there are parents that frustrate children. Teachers that frustrate children, trying to get them to do things they can't do yet. There's different techniques on teaching. When you teach 4 and 5 years old, don't prepare a 45-minute sermon. Amen? Why? Because different stages of life, they handle different things alike. They might take 5, 10 minutes of teaching, but then the rest of the teaching is through coloring and through, you know what I'm saying? But if you don't have an understanding, you say, well, I've been given this class and you're 4 and 5 years old and you should be able to pay attention for the next 45 minutes. It's not happening. You're going to frustrate these kids. God never frustrates you and I by telling us to do something that He's not going to give us what it takes to do it. Amen? And it takes the Spirit of God for you and I to be what we ought to be. Amen? In fact, I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. We'll look at chapter 3 first. Change begins with salvation, because change is the product of the Spirit of God. It's the product of the Spirit of God. And the encouragement is this. You and I that are saved, we have the Spirit. Because if you have not the Spirit, you're not of His. Amen? You and I that are saved, we have the Spirit. What does that mean? Listen, that means this. Listen, I have what I need to be what God wants me to be. Amen? I just need to start allowing the Spirit of God to work in my life and through my life. What I often pray for my own self is, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading and help me to be submissive to the Spirit's leading as well. Amen? And that's things that I think we all need. I want you to look at Ephesians. Look at chapter number 3 for a moment. And I want you to look at verse number 16, because this Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16 is a prayer that Paul prayed. And I want you to see what Paul prayed for the believers. See, we're talking about unsaved people needing the Spirit of God in order to become more what God wants them to be. But you and I already have the Spirit of God. We just need His strength. And here's what Paul prayed for these Ephesian believers in Ephesians 3:16. And I pray for this myself all the time. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, get the next statement, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This is my prayer. I need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in my inner man. Listen, to do what? Ready? Watch this. To shut up. Sometimes. Can I get a witness? You know how many times I'd like to say something to an unsaved person who's rude? But shouldn't that be natural for him? That'd be like me complaining that a dog's trying to bark and get to me and bite me. But you know what I'm saying? When we're in the flesh, we don't care where the state of the person is. Here and now. Can I get a witness on that one? Hey, we're like Peter, man. Just whip out the sword and cut the ear off. Amen? I mean, there are times that, you know, I want to say to this waiter or waitress, you know, get some manners about you or something. And my wife will tell me, shut up. You might be a better Christian than me, and pray for me if you are. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be like you. What I'm saying to you is, as a human being, there are natural reactions. They're called fleshly reactions. Anybody have those, or am I the only one that have those tendency? Want to say something smart? Want to say something? What do I need? I need the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God. I need to be strengthened in the inner man to be able sometimes to shut up. Then there are times I need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in the inner man to speak up and to maybe share the gospel with somebody or to say something kind to somebody. Amen? What I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, right? We're not just talking, oh, I need the Spirit of God to overcome these gross sins. I need the Spirit of God to help me to live like Christ day by day. That's it. Amen? Now look with me in chapter number 5, and I'm getting ready to quit, because I know we have to give some time for some fellowship. But Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to see something here. Let me back up for a moment. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse number 10, and I'll just mention some things. Look at chapter 6, verse number 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, you know, in 6:10 to 6:17 is the armor of God for the believer, correct? Okay. So can I put it this way? He's speaking to Christian soldiers, right? Okay. Now, look at chapter 6, verse number 9. He says in verse number 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them. Now, he's speaking to those that were slave owners. I think by way of application, we could probably apply that to employers today, especially Christian employers, right? Now, back up. Look at verse number 5 of chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, your employers, if you will, according to the flesh and so on, not with eye service as men please, so on. But what am I saying? Watch this. He says, look, you servants. Now, at this time, obviously, they're slaves, they're saved, and he's saying, look, as a saved slave, live good and live right, even under your masters, no matter what they're like. He says to the saved masters, how to treat slaves, amen, soldiers. Now, let's back it up. Look at chapter number 6, verse number 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So he's speaking to fathers, Christian fathers. Then back it up. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. Children, Obey your parents in the Lord. So he's speaking to Christian children. What I'm saying to you, he's speaking to you as a Christian soldier, as a Christian employer, as a Christian employee, as a father, as a Christian father, as a Christian child. And then you back up and look at verse number 25 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and so on. So from that verse on, he's speaking to Christian husbands, right? And then look at chapter 5, verse number 22. Look at verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own. Oh, that's a curse word right there, right? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, what I'm saying to you is, now we get this, right? In this book, he's saying, look, here's what you need to do to be a good Christian soldier. And here's what you need to do to be a good Christian employee or employer. And here's what you need to do to be a good Christian employee. Here's what you need to do to be a good Christian father. Here's what you need to do to be a good Christian wife. And here's what you need to be a good Christian husband. What I'm saying to you is, he's telling them, if you'll read all of it out, which I can't do at the time, he's telling everybody their part to do as a believer in those situations. When you read that, by the way, unless you got the perfect life, you say to yourself, boy, man, that's a little tough. Me submit to him? Me love her all the time? Amen? But it all backs up to this verse. Look at verse number 18 of chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. What's the next one? But be filled with the Spirit. Before Paul the Apostle, under the Spirit's inspiration, goes on to telling everybody their part that they need to play in the Christian life and in the Christian home and as a Christian employee, so and as a soldier, before all of that, if there's one thing you're going to need to be able to do your part in all of these circumstances and situations, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to be, and by the way, the word filled, technically controlled by. When somebody does something, we say, man, they did what they just went off and they did these crazy, they were filled with wrath, controlled by. If the Spirit of God can control me, I promise you, I'll be the husband I ought to be. You can be the wife you ought to be. We can be the employers, the employees. We can be the soldiers. But it all has to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, let me say this. In Ephesians 5:18, that thought is keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. Do you know why? If it was one and done, that'd be great. Can I get a witness on that one? I think it was D.L. Moody who said this. The reason we got to keep on being filled is because every one of our buckets have holes in them. You understand what I'm saying to you? We're just not always filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, we got to constantly catch ourselves. Amen. Dear Lord, help me to let you have your way with me. Let him have his way with you. The Spirit of God is the one who makes the biggest difference in our lives. I close with this, and I won't do it, turn there for the sake of time, but 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 and verse number 9. Saul was told by Samuel the prophet that he was going to be anointed to be the next king of Israel, the first king of Israel, actually. And Samuel told Saul, he said, listen, what's going to happen is the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to prophesy and such. And you're going to be turned into another man. Because what he says is, you're going to have another heart. Now, this is not theology on salvation from the Old Testament. You understand that? It is an illustration that I want to use to say this. What happened was the Spirit of God did come upon Saul, gave him another heart. And here's what it said. He became another man. I'm saying to you, as we study the New Testament truth about this, when a person does get saved and the Spirit of God does come in them, he does give them another heart. He works on that heart. And it's only then that they can become another man than what they used to be. Amen? My prayer for you and I is this, that, and I don't doubt that I'm talking to the majority of us that are saved, if not all of us. We don't need the Spirit of God because we're saved. We already have him. But the problem is, or the question is, does he have us? Somebody said, I read this before this town wanted to have a revival campaign. And one of the men suggested, one of the preachers among the many preachers suggested D.L. Moody. And somebody, and by the way, I'm not promoting D.L. Moody in any way, but D.L. Moody supposedly, it was said that one preacher stood up and said, well, you know what? He doesn't have a monopoly on God. Why should we have him here in our town? At this time, he was preaching the gospel and people were getting saved all over. And another preacher turned around and said, well, you know, he doesn't have a monopoly on God, but it almost seems like God has one on him. You understand that? In other words, somebody said, they realized that God's Spirit is working through this man. He's allowing God's Spirit to do something. Amen. I think it was him also who said, the world has not seen what God can do with a man that's sold out. But he said, I want to be that man. So may God help you and I to say, I want to continue to be more and more what God wants me to be. I don't need more of his Spirit. His Spirit needs more of me. May I give myself, yield myself, present myself to him. Father, bless our few moments of fellowship before our morning service. I pray that these words would just encourage us. Many of us have been changed from what we used to be, but we all need to continue to be changed more and more until we finally get that ultimate change, which will come when we leave this life, because then we will all be changed. And if we don't change by getting to heaven before the rapture, we're going to change in the rapture in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I do pray now that you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen.